Any praise reports?
Well, yeah, I took my hand test last night to get the class license, and God gave me all the right answers.
Cool. That's quite getting to be quite a few ham radio operators around here.
There's about 60 in Fort Davis alone.
60? JJ? Charles? No? Yeah. Well, I think ham radio is going to have a place here pretty soon. So, be ready for a little bit. Do we have any prayer requests? Okay, open up your Bibles to 1 John. First John chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." So one of the things about having any kind of success in a Christian life is understanding love. And people get mixed up on this a lot. You know, I know I heard this preaching. I heard it preached quite a bit. And I know there's a lot of people that are trying to live according to this preaching, but Jesus even said it. He said, "You should love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your body," didn't he? Jesus said that. But did you know that the harder you try to do that, the harder it gets to be? Because that's the law. That's the law. And what we're doing when we're doing that is we're focusing on ourselves when we're supposed to be focused on Jesus. See, even John said to believe the love that God has for you. So when we start understanding a little bit about this, it makes the love part a lot easier. Look over to John chapter 1. One thing I want you to take away from 1 John is knowing that you are sons of God. You have family standing with God. That's important to know. John chapter 1, verse 12. "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Having an understanding that you have standing with the Father because you are family will help with the love walk. There's a lot of people that just don't want to look at this. They say, "Well, we're children of God." And that's true, but you need to understand that you are a son of God. You are a direct son of God, a direct daughter of God. You have been brought into his family. You have standing with him because of what Jesus did, but you are definitely a child of God. The minute you got born again, you got made a son of God. Now here's a kicker. There's a teaching out there that says, well, we're all children of God. No, Jesus very specifically said there's only one way to the Father, and that is through the Son. And if you're not born again, you don't belong to God. I'm sorry, but that's just the way it is. You don't belong to God if you're not born again. You are somebody's child. It's not God. And see, people have to understand it. Because if we just were all just born, if we were all just children of God without making a decision for Christ, if we were all just children of God, then what's the point in Jesus getting on the cross? I'm just wasting my time preaching if everybody is just the children of God. I mean, what would be the point? We wouldn't have to do anything. We'd just wake up and say, oh, I'm a child of God. I'm okay. That's not what the Bible says, though, is it? It says there's only one way to the Father, and that is through the Son. There's salvation in no other name other than the name of Jesus. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 15. That makes a lot of people mad when you say that. But that is a false teaching straight from the pit of hell. Romans chapter 8, verse 15 says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Right there, he talks about that. You got adopted into the family. The minute you get born again, you get adopted into the family, then you can call him Abba, Father. But not before then. You don't have family standing with him until you get born again. You know, that teaching needs to get, that needs to stop. And it's happening from a lot of pulpits. There's a lot of people behind a lot of pulpits that are saying we're all children of God. That is a lie. That is not the truth. If you're not born again, you are not a child of God. Another popular teaching, for some reason, there's people running around thinking that they're Christians because, you know, well, my mom went to church. You know, I went to church when I was a kid. I got baptized when I was a kid. You know, I heard one lady say that she was a Christian because she was born in America. See, those are the kind of lies that will get people into hell. They'll make them think they're okay right up till the gate of hell slams shut on them. See, these are lies that get told from pulpits. We don't need to participate in those lies. We need to tell people the truth. Say, look, you don't get to be a child of God just because you say you are. You get to be a child of God because you got born again, and that's the only way. That sounds kind of coarse, but that's actually walking in love. You love people enough to tell them you're on the highway to hell. If you don't turn around, you're going to be there. There's a lot of people that think because they've been through some rituals in church or even held a position in church that they're Christians. And that's just not true. If a man is not born again, he's not a Christian. He's not in the family. I really, the best account I ever read about this was Kenneth Hagin. And I've told this before. He died. And he said he was going to hell. He said he was on his way down. He was going. He said he hollered to God. He said, "Hey, I'm going the wrong way. I'm a member of the church. I've been baptized." And he said he got to the gates of hell, and something sucked him back up into his body. And he died again. And he said he was going down. And he said, "Hey, I'm going the wrong way. I've been baptized. I'm a member of the church." And he said he got there and he could feel that he was getting pulled into the gate. And he got back up into his body. And he said that time he decided he better do something different. So he said he got born again right there on the spot. Because he read somewhere in the Bible where it says if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus back to life and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. And he did it at that minute, and he didn't die again. Water baptism wasn't going to save him. Being a member of the church wasn't going to save him. You know what it takes to be a member of, see, people get confused all the time about this. They think that if you fill out a card, put your address down, fill out a card, turn it into the church, you're a member of the church. I've even seen people take plastic flowers and put them in some little glass beads in a pot, and that made him a member of the church. So people come and ask me when they show up at church here, they say, "What do we got to do to become a member of the church? Are you born again?" They say, "Well, yeah, then you're a member of the church." But see, they've been drilled and drilled and drilled and drilled and drilled on this club membership that they got to fill out something that they got to do. Said, "Are you born again? Yes. Then you are a member of the only church that you need to be involved with. This is where you get fed." See how people get confused about this all the time? I just would not fill out one of those cards. I think that is stupidity upon stupidity. Now, if people will fill out little cards of information so that we know how to get a hold of them, that's different. That's different. And especially in bigger congregations. I think a properly run church with a bigger congregation should have a pastor for every 50 people. And then that pastor could have a file of those 50 people in an area, and he can stay in contact. He can watch for them. You know, the church I came out of have 300 or 400 people in it, and you could be missing 50 people. Now, I know my pastor was a sharp guy, but he can't keep track of 400 or 500 people. All by himself, he can't do that. And he's not supposed to. And then there's congregations where they have thousands of people. You know that that pastor is going to be preaching to people every Sunday, and he can run into them on the street and not have any idea who they are. But see, if you break it up into little sections where one guy can have a neighborhood that he can keep track of, now that's different. But as far as signing a card to be a member of the church, that's fruitless. You're already a member of the church when you got born again. Look at Isaiah chapter 5. At Isaiah chapter 56, verse 5. Even unto them will I give in mine house and within my walls a place and a name better than of sons and of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. See, when you get born again, you get given the name of Jesus. But also what gets tagged on you is Christian. Now you're a little Christ-like, you're a little Christ-like human, a follower of Christ. Isn't that cool? One of the things that will help you a lot, and when I started studying about the passion of Christ, you know, the whippings and the beatings and the cross and everything, I kind of fell into this deal where I blamed people, and I didn't like the people that put him on the cross, but then I understood that it was God that put him on the cross. And then I started focusing on that passion, and then that causes, out of all things, when you really, really meditate on the passion of Christ and everything that he went through, you're going to have love overflowing in your heart. Because you're going to understand he did every single bit of it for you. Every whip, he had you on his mind. Every beating, he had you on his mind. Every terrible thing they did, he had you on his mind. That should strike a love nerve inside of you. This love has been bestowed upon us. Look at John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then look over to Romans chapter 5, verse 8. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Chapter 5, verse 8 says, but God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now that's a love that knows no bounds right there. For somebody to die for you, that's a lot of love. You know, I've heard people say they got born again because they loved God so much. Really? Because the Bible tells us that the love of God got shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. See, we might know about God, but we don't know God enough to love him until we get born again. And then once we get born again, then and only then are we capable of true agape love. They had a breakdown of all the different kinds of loves. I can't remember what all of them were, but the one that Jesus coined was agape love. That's a no matter what love. It's a love because you're in a covenant. And it kind of a strange thing when you start thinking about this. And you really have to look at this relationship that Saul had with David. Saul was trying to kill David. He was bloodthirsty for him. He wanted him dead. He spent a lot of time chasing him around out in the mountain. David had a lot of opportunities to kill Saul, but he didn't. And he was in a covenant with Jonathan. And in fact, the man that killed Saul, David killed him. David could have taken Saul out in self-defense, but he wouldn't do it. Saul was being a complete rat fink, doing everything in the world wrong and doing everything he could do to kill David, and David would not raise a hand to him because he was in a covenant with Jonathan. Now you see how deep covenant goes. That describes agape love. That this person may be a complete rat fink, may be doing absolutely everything wrong, and maybe they've been doing it wrong for years. And you may not like them. You may want to twist their neck shut every time you see them. But because of covenant and agape love, you don't. You see how that? Love is not a feeling. And this is where people get mixed up all the time. They confuse lust with love. And then when the lust runs out, they think, well, I'm not in love with this person anymore. And then they go different ways. They cross their contract out. But that's not agape love. Agape love is, you know, I know this is all wrong, but this is the way it is. I'm in a contract. I'm in a covenant. Amen. Look over to 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 says, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. We didn't get born again because we love God so much. We weren't capable of love until we did get born again. And he loved us first. We just responded to that. You know, the Bible tells us to believe the love that God has for us. That's a whole lot different than trying to love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your body. I tried that. I mean, Jesus said that, didn't he? He said that, and that's the truth. But that was the law. When I finally figured out that the cross really did mean everything and it made all the difference, and it is actually a dividing line in the Bible, There's a lot of things that happened before the Bible that I can't live by, and I'm not supposed to, but the stuff after the cross that I'm supposed to focus on that makes all the difference in the world. See, when I believe the love that God has for me, now that's different. That's not my effort. I'm just focused on Him and trying to get a revelation of how much He loves me. And I don't suppose we'll ever get that completely. Maybe. That's a big revelation. It would be a good one to attain to. You know, out of the 12 disciples, or the 12 apostles, it is interesting. 11 of them died martyr's death. Horrible death. And then here's John. He lives to be so old that they had to carry him around to meetings because he couldn't walk anymore. He's just so old. He died of old age. You ever wonder how come he was the only one that didn't die a martyr's death? They tried to martyr him. They tried to boil him in oil, and it didn't get him. So then they sent him to the Isle of Patmos, and he wrote another book. And finally they let him come back, and he just kept preaching the gospel. The curious thing about John, he described himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. He had a big revelation of the love of God. In fact, he pulled close to Jesus. And that interesting because, you know, Jesus, he had a whole bunch of people around him, and he broke them off into different amounts, but then he ended up with his 12 apostles. And then when he went to the Mount of Transfiguration, he took 3. When he went to the Rock of Gethsemane, he took 3. When he was on the cross and it was time to pick somebody to take care of his mom, he narrowed it down to 1. The disciple whom Jesus loved. He told Peter to feed his sheep. He told John, take care of mom. How cool is that? That's a big assignment. That's the most trusted assignment. So, God loved us before any of us believed in Him. You know, there's a lot of people that don't believe in God. And God still loves them. There's a lot of people that worship Satan, and God still loves them. There's a lot of people that are doing horrific things, and God still loves them. And you know something? If they repent and turn to God, He will save them. One of the things we used to do, we used to go to meetings. You go to rodeos or wherever we were at, prison or jail, whatever. We tell people you need to get born again and get your name wrote in the Lamb's Book of Life. Sounded pretty cool. But you can't find that in the Bible. You can find a spot in the Bible where it says to be careful that you don't get your names blotched out of the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, if that gets preached wrong, that leaves a man thinking that once he's born again, he might be in, you know, if he makes this mistake or, you know, he doesn't do this right or, you know, something, he does something bad enough, he could get his name blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life. No. Where that happens is at the Great White Throne Judgment. People are going to have to come up there and make an account for themselves. And if they haven't made a decision for Christ, there's nothing God can do for them, and He has to blot their name out of the Lamb's Book of Life. And that's the end of it. There's no more chances. There's no purgatory. You're done. We better stop there. We're not going to get any farther without being here a while. But we do need to understand, as good as we can, just how much God loves us. And the best way to get a revelation of that is to study the Passion of Christ. Keep watching that, keep watching that, keep reading about that. And that love of God is going to happen in your heart. It's an amazing thing. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for everything that Jesus did for us in His death, burial, and resurrection. And everything that He does for us every single day as our high priest, making intercession for us, causing us to be in the right place at the right time so that right happenings can happen to us. And Father, we thank you for this day that we know is coming upon us when we will cast our eyes upon Jesus and He will complete our redemption. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.